you remain standing, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter, el primer libro de Pedro, chapter 4. And we're going to read just two verses, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 reads, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Verse 11, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, we love you, God, and we thank you for everything that's happened up to this point, Father. Lord, we have worshipped you in many ways, God. We've worshipped you in song, in prayer, in giving, and everything we possibly could, Father. And now I pray, oh God, that you have prepared our hearts, God. You've softened that place in our hearts that we might hear from you. I pray that you'd use me in the gift you've given me, God, to speak your word with clarity, with understanding, and with challenge. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Turn to somebody and say, God wants to use your talent. And you can be seated. The Bible says here, as each has received a gift, that tells us that everybody has at least one gift inside of you. He says, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Now, what does that mean? What that simply means is that God says, I want you to manage what I've given you, and I want you to manage it well. The word steward, you can replace that word with manager if you'd like. And management. Some of you are managers at your job. Some of you have managed things, and you know what I'm talking about. And today is part two of a series that we started last week. Last week we started this series on stewardship. Stewardship one was being a steward of your time. We talked about how time is so important and how it's so valuable. And sometimes we don't value time, and time slips away from us. Today we want to talk about being a good steward of your talent, your gifts, the things that God has placed inside of you that are special about you, the thing that you have that some of you don't even know you have yet. Some of you absolutely know exactly what your gifts are, and you operate in them, and it's amazing. And there's some of you think you know what your gifts are, but what you're doing is not even what is your gift. And then you got some of you here that absolutely you don't think you have a gift. You think you can't sing, you can't paint, you can't draw, you can't talk, you can't listen, you can't do this. You don't think you have any gifts, but I got some news for you here this morning. You got more inside of you than you could ever dream of having. You know why? Because you were created by the same God that created all the real gifted people. Come on, somebody. And if he created them, he's created you. That means there's something inside of you just special that he wants to use, but you got to get a hold of it. Now, I love what he says in verse 11. He says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. In other words, if you're going to preach, then preach, preacher. He says here, who serves, then serve by the strength that God supplies you, in order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever you do for God, he is going to bless because he is behind it. Now, we have a responsibility to use what we have. Just like you have a responsibility to raise your children, and you have a responsibility to your job, when you sign on that job and you go and you sit there at your job and you sit at your desk or you work in the field or wherever you're at, once you have accepted that position, then you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to that. You have a responsibility to fulfill what you were contracted to do. Come on, somebody. Now, today I want to talk to you about the urgency of being a good steward, about not just sitting on your gift and not just using your gift, but being a good manager of what you have, that talent. And today, you know, today is a, like I said, second part. Time is just as important as your talent. Because without timing, then your talent's going to go to waste sometimes, or you may be overreacting to things. And I want you to know something here. If you're really good at something, if you're really good at a particular gift that you have, then maybe you have to understand that it is God that has fueled you, and God has been God that has gifted you to those things. You know, I have a grandson that is just absolutely every Saturday at football, at YAFL, at the Young American Football, that kid scores no less than 4 touchdowns. Yesterday, I was watching him real close up, and he was running down the field, and guys were trying to tackle him, and he was going, and then he plowed through people, and I'm like, that kid is gifted. I mean, you know, you watch a video, and you say, okay, that's my grandson. Look at how awesome he is. And even if he's not awesome, you're going to say he's awesome. But I can't deny the gift this kid has. He has a gift to read things. He just has. Not everybody has that. I took me a long time in football to learn any part of what I had to do. I finally got it, but it took forever. And I had a lot of coaches and a lot of teachers trying to teach me. I didn't have the natural part of that gift. This kid's got the natural part of that. He has it. Maybe you're amazing at fixing cars. Maybe you're the best cook this side of the Mississippi. Maybe you just have the ability to win people's hearts over. Maybe there's something about you that you could just talk to anybody. Or maybe, just maybe, maybe you don't even know that you have any of those gifts. Maybe you just go through life and you just realize that you don't have much to offer, and so you just stay quiet and you don't do much. I want you to know something right now. This message is designed to stir you up. It's designed to get you to, you know, we used to sing a song back in the day. I remember early in the days, hide it under a bushel. No! And everybody would yell, no. I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a... And I, for the life of me, I was saying, what's a bushel? And what are we hiding under the bushel? I didn't know. I mean, you come into the Christianity from the streets like I did, and it's like, bushel? Like, I'm not no farmer. I don't know what a bushel is, you know what I mean? And so to hear those things, and to hear what, you know, what those kind of songs, you know, realize that until the teaching comes forth. And it talks about don't hide, don't sit on your gift. Don't hide it under something. And I want to stir you up to get that talent, that gift that you have, bring it out and be a good steward of it. You see, he didn't bless us with all the talent that we do have, that we know we have, just for ourselves, just to excel ourselves. But he blessed us with the talent that we might bless others. God wants us to use what we have to bless people. Maybe you thought stewardship was just for money. A lot of times you hear stewardship, finances. No. God wants us to be a good steward of our time. He wants to be a good steward of our gifts and what we have, because a lot of times we waste our talents. If you waste money, then you can waste talent. If you waste your treasure, you can waste talent. If you waste talent, you can waste time. How many of you last week got stirred up about not wasting time? About making the best opportunity of your time at work, in your family, on vacation time, on projects, whatever it is, that you learn how to manage your time and you take care of things and you stay responsible and faithful to not wasting time. See, stewardship is about everything in our lives, and it includes our talents, it includes the gifts that God has given us. If we want to please God, if we want to hear those famous words that we've heard, well done and good and faithful servant, when we meet the Lord at the pearly gates, then we have got to be faithful with what he gave us here. We have got to be faithful whatever God has given us. Our talents are important. But they're not more important than the one who gave them to us. Your gifting is vital and crucial, but it's not more vital and crucial than the one that bestowed it upon you. We must be good stewards of them. Now, the word gift here that we see, that we read in the Greek, the original language, it's the word charisma, which comes from the English word. We get the word charisma. Some of you are very charismatic, and you can talk to anybody and people's eyes light up. And some of you don't even look up at people. You look at the ground when you talk, and you don't have that charisma maybe. But you have other gifts that somebody else doesn't have. And you should never envy somebody else's gifts. You should always capitalize and be the best you can at what you have. Come on. Now, this word charisma, it means a gift of grace or a free gift. It is specially used for special spiritual abilities given by the Holy Ghost for God to enable Christians to serve in the body of Christ. There is a certain charisma that some people have. Now, also, all believers, like I said earlier, everybody has at least one gift. Regardless of what you might think, God's Word teaches us that every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. The moment you get saved, the moment you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the moment you start reading your Word, you start walking with God, start serving God, the moment you start worshiping God, the moment you start getting connected to your church, connected to leadership, learning, hungry, and ready to serve God, immediately that begins to, that all of a sudden there is something that happens in the Spirit that allows you to understand that you have gifts and that you must be responsible for those gifts. If God gave you a family, then you got to be responsible for your family. If God gave you a car, you ought to be responsible for taking care of that car. Change the oil, clean it up. Don't leave it, you know. Keep it clean. Take care of it, it'll take care of you. Come on, somebody. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 27, each believer becomes a gifted member, like an arm or a foot in the body, like an eye with the ability to function like an eye does. Turn with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's read it for ourselves in verse 12 to 27. And I'm going to read it because of time. It's going to be on your screen. And let me just begin reading and you catch up to me. But chapter 12, verse 12, and we'll read down to 27, says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we all were baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks and slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Verse 15. "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to this body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." Verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would we have our sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would we have our sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor can the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less of or less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." Oh, you got to get this in your spirit this morning. Verse 26 says, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, then we all are honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So don't you ever think you're lower than anybody. Don't you think because somebody has a position that you're lower than them. Don't you ever think that somebody is your position that you're higher than anybody. Because we're all the body and the hand cannot say, "I'm more important than you, Pata. You're just a foot. You're down at the very bottom of us. I'm up here and I get to handle everything." But the foot could be prideful and say, "Yeah, but you couldn't go nowhere unless I took you, boy." But the foot can't be prideful like that, because then he'll trip. And then when he trips, the hand's going to hurt, and the head's going to hurt, and the elbow's going to hurt. Everything's going to hurt. And that's what happens when you think you're better than somebody else. That's what happens when you think you're more important than somebody else. Or that's what happens when you think you're not important enough, and poor little me. You have to understand you're important. Use important. Use smart. You guys could have finished it for me if you wanted. See, our gifts are to be viewed as a stewardship for which we are responsible, good stewards. That word good means, in the original language, means praiseworthy or useful. That word steward in the Greek is the word oikonomos, which means a manager, a servant of the household who takes care of things, the activity, all the financial transactions, all the things that need to be dispersed properly, the concept of all, not just finance, but non-financial manners. Amen? It really means it's not the owner, but the manager. How many know God owns everything, and he gives us the ability to manage it? Also, we see Peter here in our text that we read earlier that he says that we are given these gifts to speak or to serve. They are supposed to be for the common good of the body and not just for selective people. Now, I know we do focus a lot on drug addicts. A lot of us come from that lifestyle, but we don't just reach drug addicts. We reach families that never, ever took drugs at all, but maybe they're affected by it. Or we just families that are going through divorce, and we try to pull them back together. We reach everybody. But the gift that God gave Victory Outreach, that gift, that special gift, that anointing, that charisma, that free gift he gave us, is we have an anointing to reach dope fiends and heroin addicts and prostitutes and dope dealers and narcos. But you know what? That does not limit us to reaching sheriffs and police officers and correction officers. It does not limit us in reaching people that have never been in that lifestyle. But our predominant gift, the gift God, the anointing God gave us on Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, 50 years ago, is that we would go into the most dangerous neighborhoods, into the most dangerous countries, into the most dangerous continents, and stand on that ground and say, if God said to come here, then I'm speaking right now to this nation, just like Jonah when he went to the nation and preached salvation and repentance, that when we preach the message of salvation, the gospel of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations, it doesn't matter where we're at. When I step foot into this country of Argentina one day soon, and I begin to look in the eyes of drug addicts, the anointing that's on me, that's been given to us in our ministry, is going to reach that person just like they did in Cape Town, just like they're doing in Panama, just like they're doing in Barelas, and just like they're doing up on Tramway. Come on, somebody. It don't matter where you're at, but use your gifts and use them for God. The Apostle Paul defines the common good by such things as edification, building up the body, exhortation, consolation, and instruction, and maturing people. Paul was real strong about the gifts. He was real strong about not hiding them and not being a bad steward of them. And then we go back to the Apostle Peter and we talk. I love this scripture. He says, whoever speaks, whoever serves, do it as honor unto God. Some people won't serve some people because they don't like them. Because they don't like the way they are, the background. I won't work with that guy. He's a drug addict. I won't with that guy. He's a cop. I won't with that guy. He has a different color of skin. See, we're pretty blessed in Albuquerque. We're pretty blessed to not have a lot of the issues we have around the country. Come on. You know, if you hear, see it in the news every night. You read about it every time. And you say, oh, you're in a burke. You're like, you know what? Everybody eats up a piss. No matter where you come from. You know? We met some Russian ladies last night. We went to the opera last night with Brother Anthony and Sister Paula. Months ago, they invited us. And we said, oh, when is that time? We go, it's Saturday. I go, okay. So we went. And we went to dinner and we met some ladies from Russia. I go, excuse me, where are you from? We're from Russia. I'm like, do you love it here? And they go, yes. I go, what? It's really nice because we live here now. I'm like, who doesn't want to live in Santa Fe? Who doesn't want to live in Albuquerque, New Mexico? New Mexico's a beautiful place, not just because of the beauty and the food, but we don't got a lot of the issues a lot of other states do, guys. Honestly, we don't. We got issues. Don't get me wrong. We're not sweeping under the carpet. Nothing. We do got issues. There are some racial tensions. There's poverty. We got the drug problem. But I mean, all in all, we don't. It's not as bad as a lot of places. I mean, I study these things. See, but we have to be grateful. See, the Apostle Peter, in this scripture in chapter 4, First Peter chapter 4 that we read, he classifies the gifts into two basic categories. Number one, he talks about speaking, right? And then secondly, he talks about serving. Amen? So he talks about speaking. He says, when you teach as unto God. When you serve, show mercy. When you're in the ministry of administrations and giving that part of your life, do it well. Do it as honor unto God, not unto yourself. The emphasis here is not so much on the nature of the gift. Get this. You gotta get this in your spirit, because some of you are only going to get it right here. And until you get it right here, you're not going to get it. You might have heard this same teaching, like, you know, about the gifts, and you've heard it, but some of you haven't got the revelation of it yet. You know why? Because it's in this sense right here, and God wants to put it in the sense of your heart, not just the sense of your mind. He says here, the emphasis is not so much on the nature of the gift, but on that which should govern the use of the gift. Yeah. You got to get this. It's not the need. It's not so much in the nature of the gift. Like, oh, I could sing. No. When you sing, do people want to serve Jesus? When you speak, do people know more about Jesus? Or do you just have a bunch of head knowledge that tells you all the Greek and all the Hebrew and all the what it's about? But how does it touch a life? I mean, last weekend was one of the most unorthodox, according to Christianity, not to Victor Average, but according to Christianity at large, that's an unorthodox way to have shotguns on the stage and blood and prison scenes and gas chambers. And if you weren't here, you know what I'm talking about. But Arch Play has like some really crazy elements, right? But it tells a story, and you just, at the end of the night, when you see the altars from wall to wall packed with people giving their hearts to God, what does that say? That says that we know he knows the gift he has. I mean, the guy was a Mexican mafia assassin, man. Straight out. Everybody knows his testimony. Comes up here and talks about Jesus. People are looking at him for real. And then the way God uses his gift, listen, he uses it to the glory of God. See, those who speak should speak in the character of God's word and not just our own viewpoint. A lot of times, a lot of you young preachers better get this. A lot of times, God's going to give you some charisma, some gifting to speak, or you're going to be a great orator, and you have it all down, and you've studied the way this does, and you read this book, and you've done a lot, and that's good and well, and you continue to do that. But for you aspiring preachers and those you new speakers, and even some of you have been around for a little while, you better know something right now, that it's a tendency. Mankind has a tendency to speak our own viewpoint, and our viewpoint doesn't really matter very much. I don't know. I don't get your feelings hurt now. Don't feel like, you know, well, what about my smarts and what about my degree and what about seminary? And let me tell you something right now about seminary. Sometimes a seminary could have been a cemetery. Sometimes, you know what, all that knowledge you have can be stinky sometimes if it's not fueled by the anointing of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know, preachers, if you're preaching your own viewpoint, you have not tapped into what God has for you. You might have the gift, but you're not using the gift you're just talking about the nature of the gift. You're not talking about the reason why God put that gift inside of you in the first place. And that is to have the anointing to be able to bring some understanding through the Spirit of God. And that only comes through Him. His viewpoint, not your own. Well, I think it means this. Well, that's why we have so many cults around the nation, also many around the world, because they thought that maybe God spoke to them through a fish or through this or through that. I mean, God used a donkey, but just so the angel of the Lord wouldn't kill him. Come on, somebody. See, the result of this kind of failure when the church is just using just its charisma and just its gifting and not really being fueled by God, it reveals what James said in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brother, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. God requires us to be dedicated students of the Word of God, to handle the Word of God with truth, with carefully and studied. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. In other words, get into Bible school. We got a good Bible school, Bethy, Victory Education Training Institute. Man, you get a degree. We got people in our church that the degree they got there, they just got raises. John was telling me the other day, you know what, I got a raise, Pastor, because I got a degree in Bethy, I got my associate's degree, and that kicked me up a couple more dollars at my job. I go, are you kidding me? Some of us been in Bethy for like 19 years. What's that going to do for us? Oh, that's a different Bible study. See, those who serve in other ways, Peter teaches, says, you know what, do it by the strength of God. Don't do it on your own. See, if you do it on your own, the moment somebody takes advantage of you, the moment you're not patted on the back, you're going to run. And you're going to say, nobody appreciates me. You're going to run and say, I do this with all my heart. I give everything. But see, when you do it for the wrong motives, if you're doing it for a pat, now I love to give people on the pat on the back, and it feels good to get a pat on the back once in a while. But that's not why we do it. See, we have to realize and understand that when we do something, we do it for God. It's His gift that He gave to us. Now, I don't have time to get into it. I'm going to get ready to wrap it up if I can get keyboards to come up. But in Matthew chapter 25, if you'll just give me a few more minutes, there's a story about talent, about gifts. In verse 14, it says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another one he gave 1. To each according to his own ability. In other words, one can handle 1, one can handle 5, one can handle 10. So he knew that, so he gave them exactly and appropriated exactly how he felt like they could handle it. Then he went away. Verse 16 says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 more talents on top of the ones he had. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here, I made you 5 talents more. In other words, what you gave me, I used well, and it multiplied on me. In verse 21 says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came and forward and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And verse 24, listen. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew that you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you do not scatter seed. So, I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here's what you got. We didn't lose it. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers or somebody and got some interest on it or something. So take that talent from him, he said. It's tough. And give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more be given, and he will have abundance, but from the one who has not even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I read that and I said, my goodness, Lord, that sounds so tough. But that's how serious God is about the gifts he's given us. the talents that he's given us, when we don't use them unto the Lord. Listen, there's a lot of good musicians that are coming to our church, but they'd rather not play in the church. They'd rather take their, you know, they'd rather take their talent to South Beach. Hello, somebody. Only sports, only basketball people want to get that one. And I just rather not use what they have. There's people have the gift to just charisma to look at people and I say, good morning. How you doing? God bless. So good to have you here in church with us. We got a chair for you. Come on. So many people have that, but they think that's too low. They'd rather be up here. You know, all these young pastors that want to be pastors, they become pastors, and a year or two passes by, and they say, what did I get myself into? The budget's not there. I don't know what to do. Nobody's listening to my sermons. I've studied for 2 years, and I don't really listen to my sermons. I can't turn to grow the church. And they start realizing that preaching is just a small portion of pastoring. Not everybody's supposed to be a pastor. That's why in this nation, according to Barna's book of statistics, over 600 pastors a month quit being pastors. Some of them got attacked by the devil. Some got sick and something happened and they were called, but they just couldn't. But then there's many that were never supposed to be there in the first place. They were not satisfied serving as the foot or the hand or the ear or the eye. They wanted to be the head honcho. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like, you know what? We're all the body. And I say sometimes to people, you really want my responsibilities? Really? Why don't you come and sit in the day in my shoes and see how fast you run? Or how you realize, man, I'm called to do this. I need some training, pastor. Can you train me? Because I am called to do this. I feel this. Whatever it is. See, the body has to understand. The Bible talks about talents. It makes it clear that God gives different gifts, different talents to different people. Different gifts have different functions. Some gifts or talents are more prominent and more seen more publicly. I know Pastor Charles had many times people come, man, I want to sing on the worship team. Pastor Pat, at one time, when he was not Pastor Pat, was a skinny little graduate from the home. His long beard and cut it off. His big old glasses. He was, I want to be in the choir. But there was no guys in the front line. And I don't know if Pastor Pat's ever told you this before. This is public knowledge. It's on Facebook. It's written in the history books of Victor Avery Chabakurgi that Pastor Pat really is not a singer. According to him, according to his wife, according to other people, he's singing, but, you know, it's not his gift. But he came to Pastor Charles, can I be? And Pastor Charles was so desperate for men singers. They needed some guys. So they told him, put him in the choir. And they said, no, put him up front. For a couple of reasons. We ain't got that many young people. Hardly have any white people. We do now, but we didn't. In those days, we didn't. It was all nothing but mustaches and tattoos. And so put him in the front, show some diversity, and turn his mic off. Turn his mic off. That wasn't his gifting. But if you give that boy a mic this morning and ask him to preach a word, he'll shake the sin off of you. He'll preach so hard that you'll run to the altar because he's a preacher. That's what he does. He just had the mic in the wrong place. That's it. So you have the same kind of gift. You just don't know it yet. And if you'll just let God work with you, if you'll let us work with you, if you'll let the Holy Ghost work in you and through you, you will see the gifting of God. And then once you see it, once you operate it, don't let pride get in there and think you're something you're not. You just let God begin to develop and cultivate that gift. And as he does, as you operate it, he will get the glory and you will be fulfilled. Because there's nothing worse than potential unfulfilled. Come on, somebody. In speaking about gifts, Paul uses the analogy of the body. We read it earlier. Whatever function that part of the body is, it's so important to the body of Christ. Everybody has an importance. Don't you ever think because you don't sing or preach that you're not important. Don't you ever think that because you're not at the front or this or that, the top, that you're not. You're vital. Every person is vital and crucial. That parable in Matthew 25, Jesus was revealing, talking about the master giving his servants talents and he wanted him to be good stewards. He said, hey, I'm leaving. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He was telling the parable saying, listen, the gifts I give you, you can't waste them. You've got to manage them well because there's not a lot of time. Our lives are so short. They're like a blade of grass. And whatever we have, the time we have, the talents we have, the finances we have, everything we have, we got to be smart. We got to use them with understanding, but with good, tender thoughts in our hearts in the right place. This teaches us that it is not the amount of talents, the amount of gifts that we have, that we've been given, that is important, but so much more, the rather how we use them and how we manage them. The church is not like a bus where the pastor is the only bus driver and the members are all the passengers on the bus. We need a lot of people with license to drive the bus. It's not like a pyramid where the pastors and the leaders are at the top and the ordinary members are on the lower bottom. You might say, well, I'm in the home. I feel like I'm in the bottom. Well, you got yourself in the home. Take responsibility. Stop that already. When you graduate, things will be a whole bit different. Right now, it's go over here and go over there. Where are we going? Just be getting the van and be quiet. We're going. And when you get that, that's where Pastor Pat was at. That's where Pastor Charles, that's where Sam was at. Come on, somebody. They were in the home just like you. And now look at them now. You see Doris walk around. She's telling the ushers what to do. She went in the home too. They told her to. She cleaned the bathrooms. She did this. She did that. And she still will if you ask her. She's got a servant heart. But it's your turn. Somebody. Lastly, why does God give you talent? Why does God give you gift? His main purpose is for us to use. This is going to be a big revelation to you. It's not so you can sign autographs. Though some of you will sign autographs. Some of you will sign autographs and it'll be to God's glory. But it is not for that. It's so that you can bless people. You know, I don't know if you know this. I'm not sure if you understand music or you understand. You guys going to be all right here? It's like, I don't know if you understand vocal capability. I'm not sure if you understand it fully. You may. Some of you may. And some of you just like, it's just a song. It's just a voice. But I don't know if you realize how talented that man back there in the drums is. I don't think most of you in this room, you kind of know, but you really don't know. When somebody can sing like Barry White in one moment and like Philip Bailey in the next, at the lowest pitch and the highest pitch you can sing in one song, then I don't think you realize how gifted and talented is. Yet, he could be traveling around singing in all the casinos, and he could be traveling around signing autographs everywhere. Where is he at this morning? Where is he at? He's in church. He has a phenomenal gift. If he wanted to go and promote himself, he could go out there and he could make a whole lot of money and a whole lot. But you know what? He uses his gift. And that's one of the greatest things I admire about Larry Williams. And he's humble about it. He's never once told me, man, Pastor, you go, when are you going to get together already, man? You can't get that harmony down. What's wrong with you? Come on. He just says, no, Pastor, listen, right here. And I'll do it. And then my wife says, hey, you hit the harmony right there. I said, well, thanks to Larry. And Larry will say, no, you have a gift. Use your gift. That's humility in his amazing gift. What about you? What about you? See, for the body, that means Jesus is the what? He's the head of the church, right? He's the groom or the bride. He's the head with the body. And if we have gifts, sometimes we won't be able to use them properly if we got junk in our hearts. And so I always say this, because in Luke chapter 6, I believe it's Luke chapter 6. That was my devotion, my personal devotion this morning. Luke chapter 6, it talks about how he said that when your enemies curse you, bless them. When your enemies hate you, forgive them and love them. Now that's easier said than done, but that's what Jesus said. So when a Christian just uses their gift to love and to forgive, I think that's one of the greatest times that we give God glory in the body of Christ. And know this, that there is no way on this earth or in heaven or anywhere else that if a believer hates people, that means they can't really love the head. Because you can't really say, I really love the head and hate the body. It'd be like you saying, I love my brain, but I hate my liver. I love my eyes, but I hate my heart. So you can stop beating because I hate you. The eyes will never see again because it takes the heart to. What gift do you have? I don't know, Pastor. I don't have it. Then you want to find out? Let God get a hold of you this morning. I want you to bow your heads all over this place. No moving around, please. Just bow your heads. Just bow your heads right there. I want you to think for just a moment. I want it to be clarified. I want there to be some clarity in your mind. That God wants to use your gifts, but he wants you to be a good steward of them. God is saying here this morning, I have so much for your son. I have so much for your daughter. So much for you, for your family. But I can't fully use you until you understand that I want you to be a good steward of what I've given you. It's not the nature of your gift. It's the way you use it. And I can't use your gift to the full if you got junk in your heart. So I want to make an altar call for a few different subjects this morning. One of them, I want to make an altar call for those of you that maybe have left your gifts aside and hid them under the bushel. Secondly, I want to make an altar call this morning for those of you that don't know you have a gift. And this morning, there's been some revelation in your mind. You say, if I have a gift, I want God to show me what my gifts are. I want them to be revealed. That this altar calls for you. And then thirdly, if you have a gift and you're really trying to use it, but there's something that is really, really blocking that gift, and you know there's something blocking the gift, there's something you need to deal with, then this is the altar call to come to and deal with that so God can use your gifts. And lastly, for those that have gifts, sitting on them. Enough's enough. It's time to give God your gift, to give the church your gift, to come and say to the leadership and say, hey man, I got this gift. I need to use it. I want to use it. Amen. I'm going to ask them to sing this song in just a moment. Before they do, I want to say this. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I used to walk with the Lord. I grew up in church. I know more than a lot of people know, but I walked away from God, and I'm ready to come home. God brought me home here today to get my heart in the right place. If that's you here this morning, and you want me to pray for you, if you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate, I want you to, every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand right now. Just lift it from all over this place. God said, I have something for you, big. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right here real quick. Just stand to your feet. Those of you that lifted your hand, stand your feet real quick. Anybody else? And I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me. As they sing this song, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat. And everybody that I mentioned, I'm going to open up this altar to you. And as I open up this altar, I want you to come and let me pray for you. Let me trust God with you. Let me believe God for you. Amen. Come on, from the Lord.
Surrender all.